He was called the father of psychopharmacology. He passed last August at the age of 90. In this episode, we remember Donald Klein. Welcome to the Carlatt Psychiatry Podcast, brought to you by the Carlatt Psychiatry Report, keeping psychiatry honest since 2003.
I'm Chris Aiken, the editor-in-chief of the Carlatt Psychiatry Report.
And I'm Kelly Newsom, a student psych MP and a dedicated reader of every issue. Donald Klein died last August of cardiopulmonary arrest. He was there at the beginning and laid the bedrock for the modern practice of psychopharmacology. Here's a few areas where Dr. Klein left his mark.
Antidepressant withdrawal. He was the first to describe this phenomena in a 1961 paper on imipramine. Panic disorder. Dr. Klein discovered panic disorder after observing that patients who suffered these anxiety attacks didn't have a more generalized kind of anxiety and were different from others in that way. They had a phobia of panic attacks and they responded to medications differently. That led to one of his greatest contributions, which was the concept of pharmacologic dissection. Basically, he developed the idea that one way to separate different mental illnesses from each other is how they respond to different medications. Sounds like a simple thing, we take it for granted, but Donald Klein started it, and he first applied it to panic disorder. This was in the early 60s when chlorpromazine, the first antipsychotic, was released, and people were using it for everything, not sure of the limits of what it might do. But Dr. Klein noticed that people with the panic attacks got worse on chlorpromazine and actually improved with imipramine. Dr. Klein also used this pharmacologic dissection tool to help separate depression into its melancholic and atypical forms. He was among the first psychiatrists to discover that atypical depression, which is characterized by overeating, fatigue, rejection sensitivity, and lead-in paralysis, this type of atypical depression responded uniquely better to MAOIs, while the melancholic type responded better to tricyclics. Sometimes those atypical symptoms were called reverse vegetative symptoms, meaning they're the opposite of what we normally see in melancholic depression. In melancholic depression, we tend to see low appetite, psychomotor agitation instead of tiredness, and patients waking up early in the morning instead of oversleeping, and a mood that's solid like a rock, unchanging, instead of a mood that's reactive to every sort of slight and rejection throughout the day.
Klein trained as a psychoanalyst and as a physiologist, and hoped to combine the two in a research career. He left psychoanalysis after realizing that was not possible. In a world where biological psychiatry was underappreciated and mental illness was thought due to poor parenting, he was a bold advocate of the new field of psychopharmacology. In fact, he wrote the first ever textbook of psychopharmacology in 1969.
Dr. Klein had a complex relationship with psychotherapy. He certainly valued it as a useful treatment, but he also testified famously in Congress that psychotherapy was renting a friend. But he was a deeply compassionate physician who got to know his patients well and genuinely cared about them. For example, he made an effort to actually try every medication that he gave a patient on himself to better understand how it was really affecting them. Dr. Klein helped draft the DSM-3 with Robert Spitzer in 1980, and famously, he was responsible for getting panic disorder in that book. But there was another diagnosis that Donald Klein came up with, which never made it into the book, but might have some utility for the patients we see even today. It's called hysteroid dysphoria. Hysteroid dysphoria happens in patients with histrionic personality features. He said it was often seen in women who are very rejection sensitive, and they respond to rejection with these unusual episodes that last about 3 days, where they'll lay on the sofa, tired, with heavy feelings of leaden paralysis, eat sweets all day, and feel intense dysphoria and sadness and anxiety. The episodes resolved, he thought, either with a few days' time or with attention and praise, and he saw them as more of a personality trait. In fact, some have speculated that this personality trait he was witnessing is really a variant of borderline personality disorder or histrionic personality disorder itself. But, as you might have guessed from those physical symptoms, his steroid dysphoria resembles atypical depression a lot. Both have rejection sensitivity, eating a lot of carbs, and heavy feelings in the arms and legs. And that's ultimately why it was left out of the DSM. Dr. Klein argued with Bob Spitzer over this. He wanted it in the DSM. But Dr. Spitzer, in turn, sent a survey to 4,000 psychiatrists asking if they saw any of these features in their patients. And in his analysis, the features just didn't cluster together, so it got left out. But what's the use of understanding his steroid dysphoria? You will see it to this day in your patients, and if you do, remember Donald Klein's observation that this syndrome responded uniquely well to MAOI antidepressants.
We have a guide to prescribing MAOIs in our July-August edition of 2019, and it's there that you'll find few surprises about these drugs. Like, did you know that the MAOI diet has gone through a big change in the last 20 years? Although there is a new MAOI, the Skin Patch MSAM, it's only the older ones that are proven to work in treatment-resistant depression. One of those has a side effect profile that usually makes it the best one to start with, tranexamic. Find out why at thecarlettereport.com. It's there you'll find the full articles that we discuss, and especially for all of our listeners, we are offering special discount where you get $30 off your first year subscription with the promo code PODCAST. The subscription includes the print edition delivered to your mailbox and full access to all the articles on the website, monthly CME credits to maintain licensure, as well as an option for self-assessment credits towards your board certification.